Well, Olympic speed skating events continue on Sunday. It's a sport where falls are common, and they can impact even the people who stay in the race. Nat Mills is a 3-time Olympic speed skater. He now coaches kids in the D.C. area. Coach Nat, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
So I was watching speed skating the other day on the Olympics, the men's 1500, and I don't know that much about the sport, but one of the things I noticed and was surprised by is that there was a skater, Cohen Verwey, who started off well, and then his opponent crashed, and the announcers immediately made clear that there was no way that he was going to get a good time because he didn't have his opponent next to him.
Right. In long track, even though it's one skater racing against the clock and your time is all that matters, when you're visualizing your race, you're trying to picture the skater that you're going to be racing with. When that skater is ahead of you, you're always chasing them. You're trying to beat them to the crossover on the backstretch. So to lose your pair never helps.
Makes that much of a difference in the time?
It can. It's a test of your preparation and your focus more than anything. But in a race like the 1500, it can make a big difference.
I wondered if there was some way for them to put like a little bunny rabbit or something that's on the side of the track that's electronic that will show you where you're supposed to be, but that doesn't happen.
No, that it's the technology games. That'd be nice. In fact, if you're watching the TV feed, the that blue line
right.
that they show, which is the time, if you could actually be seeing that while you're skating, I don't know if that would help or hurt, to be honest, like anyone. Thing. Probably some skaters it would help and some it would be a distraction.
There's also the issue of the draft. Tell us about that and how that plays into the speed.
Right. Unlike short track where you're in a pack and you can tuck behind the leaders like a peloton and have them break the wind for you. In long track, there's usually not an opportunity to have someone break the wind except for that brief moment when you're crossing from outer to inner or inner to outer and your pair might be ahead of you. And speed skating is all about overcoming wind resistance. The ice resistance isn't the factor, it's the wind resistance. So any little moment when you can have that eliminated or lessened makes a big difference in your time. Psychologically, it makes a difference because you feel like you got an advantage that you weren't expecting. And sometimes, depending on how good of an opening skater you are, that means how fast you open, you can try to time your strategy so that you actually do get a draft if you know what the estimated opening time of
Wow.
your opponent's going to be.
Now, the other thing I noticed is that the skaters swing their arm up all the way to their forehead. Is that typical that everybody has to touch their forehead with the arm?
Technique's an individual thing. Everyone has their own technique with their arm swing. But interesting you mention that because I've been watching this games and I've noticed that almost all of the Dutch skaters, whether they're sprinters or middle distance skaters or even the long distance skaters, have an exaggerated right arm swing. They really throw it out in front of them. And I'm wondering if that isn't a conscious technical effort that the coaches are telling them to try to just help their momentum or keep them motivated in their stride. But it definitely stands out. Other than that, though, it's pretty idiosyncratic.
How did you get into speed skating?
I just happened to be in the hotbed of the Chicago area when I was younger, and my folks had met someone who was an inline. And they were looking for something for their 6 kids to do where they could take them all to one practice, and speed skating fit that bill. They brought us all to the rink in Northbrook, Illinois. We all got on skates together. The practice lasted an hour, and we stuck with it. And that's how a lot of kids get involved. Some of them come from hockey or figure skating, and then of course today a lot of the skaters come from inline speed skating. In fact, a majority of the U.S. team are all former inline speed skaters who made the transition. Some of them it took a matter of years, and some, as in the case of one, Erin Jackson on the long track team that races next week, she's only been on ice since the beginning of this winter, which is amazing.
Is there an ideal speed skating body type?
There is not. And if you've been watching speed skating, you can probably tell it runs the gamut. You know, there's 6'4 giants that do well, and then there's 5'6 guys that race the same distance that do equally well. Short track athletes tend to be slightly smaller build and lighter, but that's not always the case either.
What's it like as a former Olympian to watch others compete?
I think I like watching the competitions more than I did racing them. Of course, I know a lot of the U.S. skaters, some of them very well, so it's a little nerve-wracking watching them compete and really having no ability to affect the outcome. But I'm as mesmerized as any fan that tunes in and watch Olympics. It's just such a beautiful sport with the high def they have now, so many different cameras capturing so many different angles. It really, really is incredible to watch as a fan.
That's Nat Mills, who's a former Olympic speed skater and current coach. Nat, thank you.
You're welcome.